Ah, welcome to the Deucecast, episode 8, Dead Man's Podcast. That's the Deucecast. I'm your host, Dave, and this is my co-host, Mikey. Say hey, Mikey.
Hello, everybody.
And normally, this would be the point where we would toss it up to Deucecast 1 Studios North up in the Noog, where our co-host Matt would be saying hey at this time. But Matt won't be joining us tonight simply because, well, he's a daddy right now.
That's right.
His wife, Stephanie, our Deucecast first lady, just spit out her first child, little Nora.
Nora Grace,
Mikey's niece, Matt's daughter.
I'm an uncle. I've been an uncle, but I'm an uncle
like an
more.
Uncle to an actual real life. Yeah, exactly. we wish them well today, and we wish that Matt could be on the show tonight, but we're hoping he'll be on the show definitely next week. And, of course, this is Zooey Deschanel that you're hearing right now singing. It is one of Matt's favorite artists.
Yeah, she and him. It's one of his favorite bands.
Yeah, so. Matt. Yeah, Zooey and Matt. She and him. Exactly.
Yeah, Zooey.
Zooey, whatever.
I don't know.
And anyway, it's one of his favorite artists. And so we wanted to open the show tonight with a little Zooey, a little she and him and her and she. And we'll get to them later on in the show. But that's for you, Matt. Just for you, buddy. Good. Congratulations, Stephanie. We wish you well. That's exciting. So
have fun with it, guys.
Absolutely.
It's fun every second of it.
I've heard. I can't wait. We do want to kick off this show with a melancholy note. We lost one of our favorites this past week.
Oh, that's right.
So Friday, I'm actually sitting on an airplane in Phoenix, Arizona. We're approaching the gate, and I open my phone up and turn it on, and I check my phone and check Twitter, and discover that Friday morning, WWE legend and Hall of Famer Macho Man Randy Savage suffered a heart attack while driving around Tampa, Florida, and wrecked his vehicle. He died that morning, and although his wife traveling with him only suffered minor injuries. We were going to be talking about Macho Man tonight at length, because all three of us are legitimately fans.
So
we're going to kind of poke a little fun, have a little fun with it and everything, but we're fans of the guy. But because Matt's not here tonight, we're going to go ahead and move our Macho Man tribute to next week.
Yes.
Episode 9 at podcast's end. So, join in for that. We'll be talking about Macho
Man. Or at Macho Man's end.
At Macho Man's end, exactly. At Macho Man.
Too soon?
No. I don't know. Could be.
Know.
Could be.
Might
be. We'll be talking about more stuff than just Macho Man, but we will talk about Macho Man, some of his movies, some of his music. Yes, he's a rap artist.
That's right.
And I'm going to be discussing one of the biggest topics in WWE history, the fall of the Mega Powers.
Oh, yes.
The joining of him, Miss Elizabeth, and Hulk Hogan, and what happens when a woman comes between two best friends.
Ugh.
Everything goes...
We at the Deuce know.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that for certain. Anyway, of course, that was uncool, but we're not going to concentrate on that being an uncool week.
Not this week, at least.
Michael, what was uncool for you this week?
Well, Dave, I've got a little first word problem. Twitter, at least on my phone for most of the day, was down. And this is just on my mind because it happened so recently. I just felt lost without Twitter. I don't know if it was down for a bunch of people on the Android Verizon network, but I couldn't remember what life was like without Twitter, and I didn't know. I was scared because I didn't know if there was any breaking news that I needed to be seeing on that would have been on Twitter. I was just completely lost. I was unfocused all day because of it.
I guess the term is first world problem. I was calling it something like that a blessed white guy problem.
Yes.
Because there are people in Missouri and Tuscaloosa that lost their house.
Spoiled white guy problem, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're like, so you couldn't get on Twitter today. What the crap?
Exactly.
You know, I had the same problem this week. I was actually on a roller coaster for the first time, California Screaming at Disneyland. I'll get to that in a minute. But
woo-hoo!
I was sitting next to this little kid, apparently from a foreign land, who... did not consider body odor to be a legitimate issue with. Body odor control was not a priority for
him.
Did
he smell like curry?
He smelled like something, and it was awful.
I see.
And it ruined the ride for me, but then I thought, you know, that's a blessed white guy problem.
I'm complaining
about being on the front row of a roller coaster next to a smelly
Dave,
kid.
You're only half white, though.
That's true. That's true.
I'm just saying.
So I guess a blessed Mexican problem would be, you know, I'm at Home Depot waiting for a truck to pull up, and he only offers me $15 an hour to landscape.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, anyway, well, of course, like I mentioned, I went to Disneyland this weekend, and the love of Steph, Leanne, and I got a great deal on being able to go to Anaheim. We stayed at a hotel, a nearby Marriott hotel, and we got a few days at the happiest place on Earth, which was fantastic. That was the cool part. The uncool part is we had to catch a cab from the airport. Now, if you were to go to Disney World, which is in Orlando, and you were to go to, say, Animal Kingdom, and be standing on the corner of the mercantile shop looking across at Pizzafari, and you call us and say, okay, you know what? I'm a little lost here. Can you tell us how to get to it's tough to be a bug?
Yes.
Myself or Stephanie could more than likely say, oh, absolutely. Take a left and go to here and blah, blah, blah. I mean, blindly walk you to it. Disneyland, we had no idea. We had no concept of how to go, what to do.
It's a lot smaller.
It is a lot smaller. But the uncool part was the cab part, because we caught a cab. And we got in the cab and everything, and we had this guy who was relatively nice for a cab driver. And I pulled up the Disneyland address on my GPS.
Those
on my,
evil
on my
cab
phone.
Drivers.
Well, I wanted to make sure that Home Slice wasn't taking us like 50 miles out of the way to charge us this huge bill.
So they can do that.
They can.
Yes.
But I was watching the GPS on my phone, and he was following it. He was following it pretty much exactly. So his GPS and my GPS met up.
Good.
And he was traveling fast, so it wasn't as if he was going 35 miles an hour. I mean, we went 70 to 80 most of the time on the freeway, following the GPS. The tax or the cab ride fare, $115.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
This is a 32-minute ride or 45-minute ride, 32-mile trip, all right?
Right.
We found out later that if you call this company called Super Shuttle, they charge you $16 per person to take you from the airport or to the airport. So it's for half the cost, we could have gotten both rides. But instead, we went cab ride one way, and then we paid $32 to go the other way back to the airport. So, you know, cab rides, uncool.
Yes.
We will definitely know that next time.
They are definitely uncool. Unless you're in New York and you find an unmarked minivan and a guy's outside of that minivan said, come on, I'll take you where you want to go.
You know what? We probably could have done it. And actually, it was kind of what was kind of neat, though, is we were passing on the freeway. I saw the signs to all the places that I hear about in rap music. You know, there was Long Beach, and there was Compton, and there was West Compton. And I kept waiting for a cap to get popped in me. And I was like, Compton and Long Beach together, man, you know you're in trouble.
Wow.
You know, ain't nothing but a D thing,
California.
Baby. Exactly. And real quick, Uncool 2.0, just want to say this real quick because
yes.
This just happened.
Yeah, okay.
You mentioned this before.
Yes.
Friend of mine sent an email out, and you know it's a good friend of mine.
Oh,
sent
an
email on Facebook out to 120 people. And already, this was less than 5 minutes ago, already I have gotten two messages from people hitting reply to all or whatever, replying back to him, not to all of us, not saying, hey, everybody on this list, I have some news for you. It's to him. I'm going to get that probably for the next week. It's just
I probably will also.
And this is nothing against this guy's email. This is all these people not paying attention. It's just hitting reply to sender. Instead of just typing in the field, la, 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 hope you go well, blah, 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 blah.
It's one of
that's
those Facebook issues.
It is a blessed white guy problem. Let me just say.
Yes, first world problem right there.
Absolutely. So that's uncool. Cool for you, man.
My coolest thing of the week, everybody knows I'm a huge Star Wars fan. We've got the Star Wars poster up behind us, just representing as we always must, but the Star Wars Celebration website changed this week.
Yeah.
There's a teaser of a Roman numeral 6 fading into view on the website now. So there will soon be tons of announcements about Celebration 6. And for those that don't know what that is, it's a huge Star Wars convention. Lucasfilm pretty much sponsors it, which is, you know, unheard of with a lot of these sci-fi conventions. They're not really sponsored generally by the property that they're about.
Right.
And
right,
Lucasfilm's highly involved in this. And so there had been speculation that the next celebration really wouldn't be until 2013 to coincide with the 30th anniversary of Return of the Jedi, obviously.
Right.
But the rumor is that maybe it's going to be next year. I mean, because of the Phantom Menace being released on 3D. So,
very nice.
They haven't announced anything other than this website, which
it says Big Six.
It's got a big Roman numeral six on it, basically. So announcements are to follow. These conventions are a blast. All of us involved, except minus Sean, have been to these conventions at one time or another, and we love every second of it. So that has definitely got to be my coolest thing of the week.
Oh, I'm in for that one. I missed the last one. We were unable to go only because we just couldn't afford it at the time, but I'm already in, I can tell you.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Lots of fun announcements. There'll be some more Star Wars news later on, another huge announcement this week. So that was my cool thing of the week, for real.
Well, speaking of Star Wars, I have to say at Disneyland, we, of course, like I said, we were kind of going into it a little bit blindly. We went to guest relations and we talked to a very nice cast member named Bonnie, who was kind of give us a rundown of make sure you do this, make sure you get in line for this early, blah, 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 blah. And of course, I asked her about Star Tours 2.0, The Adventure Continues, which is the new one at Disneyland.
Yes.
Disney World had opened on May the 20th, last week, on Friday or Saturday, I guess Friday. And of course, we were at Disneyland, not World, so we couldn't go to it. Disneyland, they were still doing guest previews. And so I asked Bonnie, I said, is Star Tours open? Can we maybe get into it? Is it going to be a guest preview? And she said, no. She said, it's not going to be open. Come to find out later, thanks to Twitter, that it was open for brief periods of time over the weekend.
Nice.
I just didn't know about
social media.
Okay?
What up?
I just didn't know about it until I started checking Twitter, which is now I was checking Twitter all weekend. So then I find out on Monday afternoon, this is our last day in the parks, that Steph and I are walking around, and she's not feeling too good, so she's not riding a whole lot of rides and everything. And I ended up riding a ride without her, and I think she got a little grumpy because, you know, she wants to ride some soft stuff together. And I told her, I was like, okay, I promise you, I'm not going to ride another ride without you. Check my Twitter, and it said annual pass holders can ride Star Tours on Monday. Well, the way this worked is if you're an annual pass holder, you actually had to go onto the website. You had to log in and register. They did a lottery where they only picked like 500 or 200 or whatever.
Wow.
If you got the email confirmation, you got to ride it. If you didn't have the email confirmation, you didn't get to ride it. I, of course, have a Disney World pass, not a Disneyland pass, so I didn't even
try to register. You have the annual pass?
I have for Disney World.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
So I didn't even try to register. I mean, there's no need to because, you know, Disney World passes don't work at Disneyland.
Right.
Well, my Twitter said something to the effect of, hey, I think they're letting all annual pass holders get on. So I looked at Stephanie, and I was like, I got to ride this. I'm sorry, but I have to ride this. And
yeah,
she was like,
it's a no-brainer. She's got to
understand.
She was
like, great. And I was like, okay, that's fine. We'll go through the marriage counseling. We'll do the trial separation if we need to. This, honey, this is more important than us. Do
that's
you understand
right.
this?
That's right.
So I race over there. And I get in line, I get long stanchion line and everything, and they're basically, you have to show your annual pass to get a fast pass to go get on the ride.
Yeah.
So I get up there, and my annual pass does not work in the system. And, of course, the box, the big sign says annual pass holders only. And I told the cast member, I said, hey, man, I said, I have an annual pass. It's a Disney World annual pass, but
yeah.
The sign doesn't say Disneyland or World. It's
That's
just
true.
We tried a couple times.
Loophole.
He was like, man, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry about that. He's like, it's just not going to work. So I turn around, and there's a cast member who, well, I found he's a cast member later, but he's just dressed in plain clothes talking to like a manager. So I walk over there, and it's like, hey, manager, cast member guy. Hey, man, my last day here. We're not coming back here for a long, long time, which is true. I'm like, I've got an annual pass for Disney World. Is there any way, I mean, really, is there any way I can get on this? And he looks at me, and he looks at the other guy with his girlfriend. He says, y'all come with me. So he walks us not only to Star Tours, he walks us to the front of the, like, right to the door. I don't have to wait in the stanchion line. There's no, I'm like, people with their email confirmations are, like, waiting 30 minutes in this line.
Dude.
He walks us to the front of the line. We go in. And, I mean, I am, like, I'm giddy. I am, like, a small child looking around. I got this huge smile on my face. And I'm like, I even told the guy in front of me, I was like, I'm so happy right now. I don't know what to do. I'm so giddy right now. And it
That's awesome.
Was awesome. It was awesome.
That is
fabulous. And let me give you a little rundown real quick on in case you don't know what's happening on Star Tours. They redid the ride.
Yeah.
The 3D glasses are better. They're not those big clunky Disney glasses now. They look kind of cool.
They're like the ones you can get at the theater,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, but they're kind of even a little bit better. You start out, C-3PO ends up manning your ship, and I'm not going to spoil the whole ride for you. Well, I can't really spoil the ride for you because there's 54 different sequences that you
yeah,
can do.
It's ridiculous.
Essentially, you take off, and either Darth Vader appears, or you end up following the Millennium Falcon. That's one of two scenes to begin with.
Right.
Okay? After one of those two scenes, then you go to one of three scenes where you either land on Hoth, Tatooine for the pod race, or Kashyyyk. After those scenes, you either do one of these scenes, Coruscant, Naboo, or the Death Star above Geonosis, where Boba Fett makes an appearance, all right?
Yeah.
So you can go any of those.
That's
we ended
crazy.
Up seeing Death Star, we landed on Kashyyyk, and then we landed in Naboo.
That's awesome.
And so it was fantastic. The 3D was phenomenal. The story was great. I mean, the movement was great. It was awesome. It was so
I'm going
so
in December
awesome.
To Disney World, mm-hmm. and I'm
yeah. I'm
super
going in.
Excited.
I'm going in October in Disney World.
I will wait hours in line if I have to.
Well,
I
mean,
care.
By that time, I don't think you should have to. I think you. Probably
yeah,
get
I think
a fast
it'll be
pass,
a, well. We are but, going the busiest week of the year, though.
Yeah, you're gonna wait hours for everything.
Yeah, the last week of the year. So
you're
yeah.
gonna wait. You're gonna be like, I'm in line to ride a what is this? The crap turd riverboat.
it's
an hour and a half wait line.
Ringing in the new year in a line, basically, is what it's gonna be all about. So
well, I mean, that's like New Year parties. At the dues back then, people were waiting in line to get in.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
I mean, we only for fire code, we can only let 70, 80 people in at a time. So, yeah,
I mean, we had all the effects just like a Disney ride would, too. I mean, we had those lights in the ceiling and everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, it was
so that was my coolest of the week. And I'm going to go ahead and speak for Matt up in the Nuke and say his coolest of the week. He just had a baby. So, congratulations.
Yeah, congrats,
all right, Mike,
Matt.
Music Minute. Let's see what you got.
Yes, we're going to do Music Minute. And I wanted to take advantage of Matt not being here And focus on She and Him. That is Zooey Deschanel's band, and she is in a duo, obviously, with M. Ward. And those of you out there that are familiar with the singer-songwriters know M. Ward. He's been in a bunch of other different bands. He's in the Monsters of Folk also.
No relation to M. Night Shyamalan.
No. None at all. Good. The vibe of this band is very troubadour-like, very 50s-like. So they had a second album, aptly titled Volume 2,
right.
come out last year. So I just wanted to focus on a couple of different songs here. Tommy, I think you've got it queued up already, so we're going to be listening to Don't Look Back.
This is for you, Matt.
Matt, I love you. I know that you're going to be singing this to Nora later on.
Orpheus melted the heart of Persephone, but
I do like it.
Out of all your music minutes, I mean, I like her. I like her voice.
So that was Don't Look Back, and again, that's on the second album that they came out with last year. The other song I want you to hear on this album, another one of my favorites, is called Home. So here we go. We're going to play a little bit of this. Maybe.
Matt cursed it. There it is.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Smooth as butter, like everything is on the Deuce Cast.
That's right.
California is a great big nation.
This is for Dave. California.
That's right.
Great big nation.
They never knew what they wanted.
And although I don't feel this way necessarily, I'm going to give my my impression of Matt right now.
I mean, I just love this stuff. Zooey Deschanel, she's I love her movies that she's in.
And she's so pretty.
She's got a new TV show coming out this fall, sitcom, so it's going to be good. And then as a little bonus here, I'm going to play a song from a fictional band that she was actually in from the movie Yes Man, the Jim Carrey movie.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody out there has seen it, but you...
It's actually kind of a funny movie.
Yeah, it's an all right movie. Yep. I've seen it. It's one of the last Jim Carrey movies that I enjoyed. I mean, he hasn't had a good comedy in a while.
You didn't like his Ewan McGregor?
I don't even want to talk about it. I know what you're going with that.
Philip Morris, whatever.
Yeah, we're not even going to talk about that. But the name of the fictional band that...
I borrowed Matt's copy.
Yeah, exactly. The name of the fictional band that she was in was called Munchausen by Proxy. And the song that I want to listen to is called Uh-Huh. So let me get to that song here. All right.
It was awesome.
Smooth like X-Lax. Yeah. This is totally different than She and Him, but...
I don't care what you say, it's all right.
Very Keytar-like.
That's right. From Keytar.
I just want to get to the hook here because it's pretty good. Matt, is that you? There they are.
Yeah.
Tommy, you're awesome with the pictures.
These will be available on the Deucecast.
Yeah.
The Deucecast.com website. Go through them. Pick them up.
Let's check this out. Nick Cage reference.
That's awesome.
Okay, so that was a little bonus there for you. Munchausen by Proxy from the Jim Carrey movie Yes Man. And Zooey Deschanel, if you ever hear this podcast, I'm obsessed with you. Thank you very much. That was Mike's Music Minute.
That's awesome. And Matt, I think you enjoyed that. I'm very happy. You're probably sitting holding Nora Grace right now, rocking her back and forth. And just listening to Zooey and wondering why you'd actually name your child Zooey. You're probably questioning that right now.
I would have thought.
You know, Zooey Richter, I think that's a great name. But don't question, Matt, don't question. Forgive yourself. It's okay. The child will still grow up and be all right.
That's right.
I'm sure it's a beautiful baby. Congratulations again. Little buried treasure for you, and it'll be a little different. Of course, my whole weekend has been Disneyland. We left Friday morning. We arrived on we arrived there Friday midday. Of course, we lost 2 hours going back in time from the time change. We came back last night around, I don't know, maybe 8:45, 9 o'clock our time. Buried treasure, something I didn't realize on a Southwest flight. Now, I knew on Southwest that you could go and when you checked in, basically, you check in, it's first come, first serve. There is no assigned seats. So you check in. As soon as you check in, you get your little number there, and you get on the plane in order, and you get your seat. Well, if you are willing to be somebody who takes the burden of the lives of all the passengers on their shoulders.
Yes.
Next to the emergency exit, there are two seats, not three, with a lot of leg room.
That's right.
You got seats on the right. Oh, you got an empty space on the right. You got a lot of space behind you.
Yes.
Did not know that. We sat in those seats, myself and the lovely Steph Leanne, and it was wonderful.
Yes.
We were able to stretch our legs out a little bit. We were able to put my stuff, instead of having to shove it under the seat, I put it off to the side. I could still see out the plane because I'm a sucker for airplanes. I love flying. I love looking out. I'm like a little kid in the window looking at everything passing by, you know.
I hate flying.
Little buried treasure there for you. I mean, that's something you don't think that too much about. When you get on a Southwest flight, or if other flights let you do this, sit next to that emergency wing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sit next to the emergency exit. Now, be prepared if the plane goes down. You're going to have to pull that little lever.
That doesn't happen.
Well,
often,
I did make a joke about pulling the lever early to see what happens, and she said
called the air marshal at that point.
The stewardess said, you know, that would be a 4-hour delay, and somebody from back in the plane goes, "Don't do it, man." It was awesome.
That is
but
great.
No, that's a little buried treasure, a little hint for you from your old Uncle Dave. Find those two seats there. They were great.
Yeah, they also have room at the very end of first class. There's always that partition,
yes,
which is, well, not really a partition, but the curtain. Yes. If you get those two seats that are right there, there's usually a wall there also. There's a little more leg room there as well.
However,
not much more.
However, this is what we discovered last night, because we chose that over the two seats in the emergency exit on the way back from Phoenix to Alabama.
I gotcha.
And we chose poorly.
Poorly.
Because the wall deceived us. We thought, oh, leg room.
Yes.
Number one, there's no tray table there.
Ah.
Number two, you can't put your stuff in front of you, but you have to put it in the overhead bin instead of putting it under the seat.
Right.
Because the people behind you have put their stuff under your seat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have no seat to put your stuff under.
Right.
So now, anytime you want to get a magazine or a book or a Sudoku puzzle or your iPod so you can listen to the Deucecast episodes 1-7.
Negative one.
You have to reach up and get up, basically. And I was sitting on the end, Stephanie sitting in the middle, and we had a big brother come and sit down right beside us. Who apparently was very unhappy on the phone with somebody talking about how hard he works and how she doesn't work and
that's
whatever.
Right.
And, of course, Stephanie is all hunched up
real
on me.
Real world problems.
I mean, really.
First world problems,
know,
sorry.
But Stephanie's kind of hunched between myself and Big Papa over here on the end, and not good times for her. Me, it was fine, but not so much for her. So don't be deceived by the great leg room in the front unless you're flying with no carry-ons. Go for those two seats that they are at the
end. Or you're flying Delta instead of Southwest.
Well, that too. But I love Southwest.
Or Pan Am.
Pan Am. That's a show coming up.
The show
up.
Coming
show
out,
coming
right,
up.
Exactly.
Yes, with Christina Ricci.
Exactly.
I don't really like I'm not really a fan of her, but that show itself, if you go on aesthetics only, that show is going to be awesome. I mean, the show looks great. I don't know how great it's going to be, but it looks great.
I dig know? When they do the 60s throwback shows, that Playboy Club and Pan Am. I'm going to check them out just to see what they're all about, which I do that anyways a lot of times. With all the new shows that come out.
Right.
I like to try and, if I have the time, to watch at least one episode just to give the show a chance. I really don't do that with the sitcoms per se, but with the dramas.
Unless it has Christian Slater in it, which you know that it's not going to last more than 4 episodes. So, you know, don't give it.
Yeah.
Don't even try it. Don't even
Poor
try
Christian
it.
Slater.
All right. So, amongst the many books that I have stacked up to read, one of them includes Suzanne Collins' The Hunger Games.
Yes.
Apparently you have the news about the casting of The Hunger Games. Now, I will say that I have not read these books. I don't know a whole lot about them. I know Hurricane Rhett has read them, and he loves them.
Oh, really?
Other people have read them as well.
Really?
And so I'm pretty excited. They're on my list of things to read.
That surprises me. I mean, that's a good way to start the roundtable off. Jennifer Lawrence, now, you might not recognize the name, but she was nominated for an Oscar Academy Award for Winter's Bone.
Right.
Best supporting actress.
Have you seen Winter's Bone?
I have not. I've heard it's excellent.
I've heard it's haunting.
I know my father-in-law, yeah. John, thought it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
He likes to try and watch, you know, all the nominated
right.
movies or
right.
whatever. But and then for fans of comic book movies, she is going to be in the new X-Men movie also. She plays.
Is she Emma Frost?
No.
Or
keep going.
Mystique?
I don't. Yeah, yeah. Mystique.
Okay.
Yeah. She's
Mystique.
Yeah, she's going to be Mystique.
That was Rebecca Romijn, I think Stamos at the time. She was
yes.
the blue chick. They could transform into other characters.
Yes. So yeah, she'll be Mystique in the new one. And I've already seen the reviews for the new one and heard lots of, tweets about how awesome the new one is.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. But anyways, Jennifer Lawrence, she's been cast as Katniss, apparently the main character in
right.
this movie version of The Hunger Games.
Right.
Like Dave said, that it's a first book in a trilogy written by Suzanne Collins, which we're going to, again, have that information on thedeucecast.com for you to click through and purchase if you'd like. Lionsgate is the studio that's taken this property, and they're basically trying to capture that lightning in the bottle that was Harry Potter books, The Lord of the Ring, Chronicles of Narnia. They're trying to make some money with this. It's a very popular series. For those that have no clue about the series, I'm just going to read the premise for it real quick, just so you have an idea. It's basically set in the not-too-distant future. North America has collapsed, weakened by drought, fire, famine, and war, to be replaced by Panem, which is a country divided into the capital and 12 separate districts. Each year, two young representatives from each district are selected by lottery to participate in the Hunger Games. Part entertainment, part brutal intimidation of the subjugated districts, the televised games are broadcasted throughout Panem as the 24 participants are forced to eliminate their competitors, literally. So they're killing them, basically, with all citizens required to watch. That's an interesting caveat. I don't know how they go about requiring citizens to watch, but they require that.
Well, the government thinks they can require us to buy health insurance. But anyway.
All right.
Ahead.
Thanks
yes.
for that, Dave.
Yes.
When 16-year-old Katniss's younger sister, Prim, is selected as the mining district's female representative, Katniss volunteers to take her place. Obviously, she doesn't want her sister
right,
to get killed.
Right, right.
She and her male counterpart, Peeta, these are not really great names, but apparently the book's good. The son of the town baker, who seems to have all the fighting skills of a lump of bread dough, will be pitted against bigger, stronger representatives who have trained for their whole lives. So basically, it's very similar to Surviving the Game with Ice
right.
Ice-T, I believe.
Right, right. Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to get a little
great
bit of
great movie,
that.
By the way. Good reference.
No, I did not want to reference that movie, but it came into my head. So
good reference.
I felt like I had to throw it
you
out there.
You can find that on thedeucecast.com. Available for purchase on Blu-ray and 3D Blu-ray, I'm sure.
No. It's on VHS only, I'm sure. Maybe even beta only.
Doesn't that have Rutger Hauer in it?
I'm sure.
That's awesome.
It might, actually, as the main villain.
Yeah.
I think it actually does. I don't know. I can't really
Surviving
recall.
The Game.
Yeah.
By the way, I have Ice-T's biography on audiobook, and I'm pretty excited about hearing
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be nothing but F-words the entire way through.
He can write?
I don't know. Well, it's Ice-T and somebody.
Okay, okay.
So it's
gotcha.
Probably him rapping his life story. And the book is called Ice.
As it should be.
Absolutely.
So, Dave, I you wanted to talk about Bridesmaids last week. So
I did.
Go ahead and
I
talk
did.
About it this week.
You know, this is not going to be a For the Chicks segment because Bridesmaids, I think, is a movie that will appeal to all.
Yeah, I really
it's,
believe
it's,
so.
It's a comedy starring Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph. And basically, Maya Rudolph is playing... Kristen Wiig and Ryan Rudolph are friends that have been friends forever. And one of them is getting married. Maya Rudolph's character, Kristen Wiig's character, is kind of I mean, everything in her life is falling apart. She doesn't have a good job. She has these hilariously awful roommates who are British and talk like this. And it's a brother and sister who are a little fat, and they talk like this. And the girl shouldn't have to. I don't feel like I should have to get a job and pay rent because
that
because
accent
I'm
is so authentic, Dave.
I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, they're
I really
so,
felt like I was in England for a second.
They're so creepy. I read your diary. At first, I didn't know it was a diary. I thought it was a very sad romance novel. I mean, just you know, of course. So she goes off the deep end whenever she's her best friend getting married, and one of the bridesmaids is another girl named I believe Helen. Excuse me, Helen. Who steps in and is basically trying to take over the entire wedding, trying to, you know, she's the one with all the money and trying to do things or whatever. And I mean, it's been billed or referenced as a hangover for chicks, and it's really not that. It really is just a funny movie. A lot of language, but beyond that, I mean, it's really just language and some potty humor. But no, it was a great movie. I mean, I really enjoyed it. My wife, the lovely Stephanie Ann, went with me to watch it, and she enjoyed it. And she usually doesn't like this kind of movie. So anyway, yeah, that's a movie that I recommend. It's rated R. It's a hard R for language. So don't take the 12-year-old kids to see it thinking it's going to be a funny, girly movie. It's not.
That would be Something Borrowed.
Something Borrowed, exactly. Which, by the way, was a great movie.
Oh, No. My bad, guys. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No, I mean, who steals the show, though, is Melissa McCarthy, who played Sookie from Gilmore Girls. She is...
Wait,
absolutely.
Her character's name is Sookie, just like the one on True Blood?
No. Her character name was Sookie before True Blood.
Oh, okay.
But now she played Sookie on Gilmore Girls, and she plays, I forget the character's name in this movie, but she is absolutely hysterical. It's great. I mean, it's a great film, and so I recommend it. I do.
Again, my father-in-law, John, watches the show Mike and Molly on mm-hmm. CBS, and
she's
said
in it, yes.
that she's great in Bridesmaids.
Yeah, she's a great, I guess he's
Yeah, he saw it, yeah.
Okay, well, good. If you got John's approval, then
there you go. That's all you need. Stamp of approval right there.
Now, going back to Something Borrowed.
No. But you know what, Dave? That's a good segue, because... From what I understand, the Hatfield and McCoy feud started with Something Borrowed, if I'm not mistaken. I can't really...
The book?
I can't back that up at all. So, anyways, to coincide with the 150th anniversary of the bloody feud that was the Hatfield and McCoy family, the History Channel has greenlit a miniseries about these families.
Like fictional or non-fictional? Like documentary style or...
This is going to be apparently documentary style.
Okay.
This is done as a fiction. So
right.
If I'm not mistaken, History Channel has done these, you know, fictional portrayals of real world events before. Now, I don't know if any major actors have been attached, like is attached to the Hatfield and McCoys. Kevin Costner is actually executive producing and starring in The Hatfield and the McCoys. Now, this could be...
That could make it or break it, actually.
This could make or break the movie. I've loved all his fictional, real-world... Wyatt Earp. I actually really liked his Wyatt Earp. I liked his Dances with Wolves. I liked Open Range. Anything that he has done that is history-based, I've actually enjoyed.
Right, right.
So, you know, that may be why the History Channel called upon him to, you know, executive produce and star in this. It looks like it's probably going to come out next year. Miniseries obviously means there's going to be several episodes involved. So I'm actually looking forward to it. I don't have cable necessarily, but my parents do, so I'll come over here and watch it. So The Hatfield and McCoys, so it should be pretty good.
Very nice. They're also coming out with a miniseries on Gettysburg.
Really?
And I'm pretty excited about that as well, because I like Civil War stuff. And
any big name stars?
I mean, I haven't heard anything other than when I opened the Entertainment Weekly today, it had a big centerfold that said, Gettysburg, coming on the History Channel.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was A&E. I'm not sure. Anyway, one of them.
Probably History Channel, I would guess. I don't know.
Yes. So tonight, of course, getting back so late last night, we weren't able to watch much of anything. Of course, tonight is the American Idol final. I have not watched the performances yet, so I'm staying off of Facebook, after like 9 o'clock, because some tool will get on there and say, "Hey, guess who won?" Blah 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 blah, and it's really quite annoying.
Yeah.
But anyway,
so
also,
I didn't watch it at all this season. Who's left?
You got Deep Voice Scotty.
Is that the country guy?
That's the country guy. Baby, come lock them doors and turn the lights down low.
Are they seriously thinking that guy's going to be successful after
the
show?
Well, there's him and there's Lauren Elena, who's the country girl. And I will be honest with you, out of everybody in that show, those two to me have the most prospects of being famous. Ugh. Country music will love them.
Yeah.
They will just suck them up. And
there's
just,
way that dude is going to be the next Carrie Underwood. There's
no maybe not.
Way.
Maybe not. But if he's the next Blake Shelton, then so be it. I mean, if he's the next, you know, Chris Cagle or whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, I guess.
You know. Same thing with Lauren Elena. She doesn't have to be Carrie Underwood. She can be Miranda Lambert. So, you know.
Touché.
You know, I think they're both pretty good. They're both young, so they both have a lot to go in for them.
Yeah.
Haley Reinhart was actually my favorite going into the final stretch of the show. Haley, very divisive. But anyway, my whole point in bringing that up was that's something that we still have to watch. Watch the Celebrity Apprentice finale today. Featuring John Rich and Marley Matlin. Monday Matinee. And it was a great show. It was a great season. Out of all of the Celebrity Apprentices, I've watched every season. This is actually the first finale I've actually watched. I didn't watch Piers Morgan.
You didn't bother
Morgan.
To watch the other ones.
I didn't watch Piers Morgan win. I didn't watch Brett Michaels win. I didn't watch Joan Rivers win. But I watched, spoiler alert, turn your radio down. 3, 2, 1. I watched John Rich win it. 1, 2, 3. Okay. You had your chance. You should have turned it down.
That was a really quick spoiler.
Well, plus...
Not as quick as mine the other week, but that was pretty quick.
Plus, here's the whole thing. I can't imagine. I mean, if you've already... I mean, it's not that important to you. If you hear who wins, so be it.
Yeah.
The strangest thing, though, about it was... and they both did phenomenal jobs on the final task. It was a task about 7-Up. 7-Up Retro apparently is coming out. It's like made with real sugar.
7-Up Gold?
7-Up Retro.
Oh.
Made with real sugar. So they had to do like a 70s theme and an 80s theme. And they got Jeffrey Holder from the 70s 7-Up ads. The guy who talks like this. Uncola.
Yeah.
And then John Rich from the 80s got Dee Snider from Twisted Sister to come out. And do makeup and everything. So it was fun. Def Leppard was there. The Harlem Globetrotters was there. Blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
So at the end of the show, Trump is sitting there and he's like, Marley, I like what you did. Blah, blah, blah. I like this. John Rich, you really did this. You really did this. You know, I like both of you so much. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. And of course, I'm thinking he's going to make both of them the winner. And I'm thinking that's a crock.
Uh-oh.
But then he goes, Celebrity Apprentice, John Rich, you're hired. And then the credits roll.
And that was it.
And that was it. And I'm sitting there going.
No fanfare or anything.
I'm like, well, I mean, the confetti is falling and Little John comes over and gives John Rich a hug and so on. But I'm like, that's not really anything different. That's exactly what he does every season. It was just weird. It was like, I'm going to do something a little different tonight. You're hired. That was it. So, in other words,
Trump wanted to go home.
Probably. Yeah, possibly. Since he's not running for president. So, anyway.
He did say that he would have won.
Yeah.
So that.
He did say.
Rest assured, he would have won.
Yeah,
so
more than likely.
I can sleep better now knowing that.
But the fact that he does stuff like that. Oh, also let's talk about our sponsors real quick. Of course, Painted by You. Thank you for sponsoring our show consistently.
Amaryllis, I have nothing to do with that.
Also, one of our new sponsors, Christ to All Ministries. celebrating Christ to all out there. Ty Coffey, the president, Sean Hall, the vice president, have been really great supporters of this show. And we really, really appreciate and thank you guys for what you do.
Thanks, guys.
And finally, Bender and Bender Law Firm. If you have an injury, call 1-866-97-BENDER.
I thought we weren't going to do the Bender and Bender thing again. What? Where are you
well,
coming
they're,
from with
they're,
this?
They're helping out with the show. So anyway.
They're going to sue the crap out of us, dude.
What are they, a law firm? We'll call Brad about it. He'll help us out.
Exactly.
So Netflix, we're trying to get them on as a sponsor. Haven't got them yet.
Yeah.
But they've got some news.
It'll be a while for Netflix. Yes. I mentioned last week very briefly that they may... save the event. I don't think that they ended up doing that, thank God, because that show was horrible, in my opinion. I do like Jason Ritter. I hope that, you know, he gets into another show or something. I think he's a great actor.
He was great on Joan of Arcadia.
Oh, yeah, he was in
that.
Yeah,
he was in
that.
He was in a wheelchair.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
The Netflix, they have, you know, like we said last week, gobs of money, and they're getting bored, and they wanted to have original programming. So they are going to go ahead and greenlight their first show, which is going to be House of Cards. Now, some of you older listeners, John, no, may recognize House of Cards. It was actually a BBC miniseries from the 90s. That was basically about the ruthless underside of British politics.
Oh, so this is not a spinoff of the Matt Damon, Edward Norton, Oscar-winning film Rounders?
No.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not.
Gotcha.
No, I had
gotcha.
No idea where you were going with
gotcha.
That, but
okay.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
But the American version is going to star Kevin Spacey, and it's going to be about the U.S. electoral process and the corruption that abounds within that process.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know, it could be okay. David Fincher is involved. He's executive producing it. Come on, dude. I don't need Matt's every 5 seconds. But David Fincher is executive producing it. He's going to direct the pilot.
Right.
Anything that David Fincher does is at least interesting,
right.
Whether
yes.
you like his stuff. And by the way, The Game needs to be on Blu-ray, does it not? With Michael Douglas and Sean Penn?
Yes.
That was an
does.
Awesome
it
movie,
does.
By
it
the
does.
Way. It hasn't come out on Blu-ray
Golden
yet,
Globe winning
to
movie,
my knowledge.
Yes.
Tommy could prove us wrong if he finds that online somewhere, but I don't think it's on Blu-ray. But anyways, that was the Netflix news. Very interesting, you know, Kevin Spacey, pretty much anything he does, except for K-Pax, is pretty good. I don't even know what the premise of that movie is.
What was the
movie? He's an alien, I think.
I'm trying to think, though. What was the movie that he was in Nova Scotia for?
The game is on Blu-ray, by the way, so go out there and buy the game.
From our website, actually.
Exactly.
This is going to bother me now. I'm going to have to look this up while I'm talking.
What, K-Pax?
No, not K-Pax. He was in another movie.
David Gale story?
The Life of David Cale, but that's not it.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of took place in Nova Scotia or British Columbia or some
The country. Shipping News.
The Shipping News. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. I didn't see that crap either. Anyway.
Good God, why do I remember? I wish I could remember important things. I just said The Shipping News by you saying Nova Scotia. I said The Shipping News.
I wish you could remember your child's birthday.
Good God.
That's awesome.
This is horrible. I don't even know when my anniversary is. I think it was in April sometime.
I think it was April 21st. I don't know.
21st, exactly.
If you watch VH1 Classics, a lot of times you'll come across pop-up video
old
days. I love pop-up video. I really wish pop-up video would take place in real life. I could just walk down the street and see little pop-up things on different people and different things, whatever.
The Sims.
Yeah, exactly. Pop-up video, however, is coming back.
Yes.
Get ready for excellent news. VH1 announced today that it is resurrecting pop-up video.
We're going to
have 60 half-hour episodes.
No way.
From which to glean funny tidbits of information about music videos. This time, the show will also use hip-hop and rap videos.
Wow.
The original version would not use those because that's what MTV really specialized in.
Right,
okay?
Right. But MTV doesn't do music anymore.
MTV doesn't even do music at all, yes. The new series will debut in the fall, nearly a decade after the original version went off the air. I actually didn't know that it went into 2000. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
So anyway, the show's co-creator, Woody Thompson, said, "I've sat on the sidelines for the last decade and watched as everybody and their brother have ripped off pop-up video in some way or another, with the internet coming out of nowhere and Twitter being hauntingly familiar and all of these devices that are using snarky, pithy text." And so the article says, in the age of social networking, where an increasing amount of information is packaged in 140 characters or less, we're surprised this didn't happen sooner, but beggars can't be choosers. This fall, pop-up video makes its return. So that...
Dude, that's awesome. I loved pop-up video.
Along with the new Beavis and Butthead episodes, I will be setting my DVR for that.
That and Fuse's Pants Off, Dance Off
were
one of my favorite video shows of all time.
Well, what's
strange,
though, about pop-up video, the original form, is you actually knew the videos that were playing. You had seen them before. Now you're saying, oh, yeah, I've seen this video. I love this video. Let me see the tidbits about it.
Yeah.
You probably will be seeing these videos for the first time ever, because where do you see videos now besides YouTube?
Exactly. I really think YouTube's the only medium that actually plays videos in MySpace.
And I don't have time to go looking at the latest Tal Cruise video.
Or is it just underline space?
You know.
I don't know.
all right. So back to Something Borrowed.
We generally do the Seagal watch,
because
our friend Matt is usually on here. Mm-hmm. And Dave and I just don't know much about Seagal, all the backstories and stuff about Seagal. So,
Before I have to say this real quick.
Before we get to the watch.
We have to talk about Transformers real quick.
Oh, yes.
How could
I forget Transformers?
Thank you to Twitter. The good news. The news is out. Transformers Ride will be appearing at Universal. Okay?
You lost me at Universal because I'm never going there.
Okay. Well, they're doing a ride. They're doing a Transformers Ride. Okay?
If it doesn't say Disney, I ain't going
to
be there, buddy.
It's a ride similar to, for all the other fives of listeners out there that listen to it. It's going to be similar to Spider-Man. It will travel for about a quarter mile. It will lift people up to 60 feet in the air. It will have 30 minutes or more of immersive cues entertainment, and original actors will return. Peter Cullen will be Optimus Prime in this thing. So that's the good news. The bad news is it's going to be at Universal Hollywood.
Peter Witwicky.
Exactly.
or whatever, isn't it?
So
Sam,
it will be
Sam
only
Witwicky
at Hollywood for right now. So I'm hoping that they will bring it back. But for Universal Orlando, Despicable Me has a ride coming out. So, we're really excited about that.
I never saw that movie. Was it? I'm sure you saw it.
It was pretty good. Okay, so back to what you were saying.
Anyways, we're gonna do Sheen Watch this week.
All
that build up for some Sheen Watch.
Chaz Sheen.
The news this week: Mr. Sheen has been offered a cool $3 million to become the king of sugar daddies for establishedmen.com. This is a real website that we will not link to Deucecast.
Michael and I went to this website before the show to kind of investigate this site to see what it was.
Yes.
And it has a drop-down menu that says, I am looking for sugar babies or sugar daddies between the ages of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And then you get to sign in. And Michael signed in, but I don't know his password. So.
Yeah, exactly. But
we anyway, use Matt's password.
It is a social network designed specifically for wealthy women. And so establishmentmen.com, figuring Sheen might need some money, offered him $3 million basically to endorse their website for 3 years, have a 50% stake in the company, and the title President of Established Men. So, you know, it's an exclusive deal, which basically means that he's probably not going to sign it, because that would mean for 3 years he couldn't do anything else, basically.
Winning.
Exactly. So just to let establishmentmen.com know, if Mr. Sheen decides not to sign that dotted line, we do have our own sugar daddy here at the Deucecast, that being DJ Frenzy.
Absolutely.
Himself, Sean Sharp. So establishmentmen.com, if things fall through, give us a ring. We'll hook you up with Sean Sharp. I'm sure he'd take the $3 million.
Well, I mean,
actually, I'm sure he'd take $50, maybe. I don't know.
We will say that he is apparently committed right now to a very lucky young lady.
Yes.
But $3 million can persuade a lot. So, you know.
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't sign. No.
I mean, it might $3 million might persuade me to step
no,
out
no.
on Sean. I don't know.
No, no,
anyway,
no. Don't even go there,
no.
basically.
No, again, I asked the question, why don't we have Charlie Sheen on this show? I mean, seriously.
We don't have the kind of money to send the dude. He'd need at least $50 to come on the show.
I will
I'm sure.
say, I would spot the $50 if it meant getting Charlie Sheen on the show. I will say that I was sitting in the LAX airport waiting for our plane to arrive yesterday morning. And I was kind of bored because I had not gotten to reading my book yet, and I was flipping through. And so I actually looked up Steven Seagal contact information on my phone, trying to figure out, okay, is there a way to email his publicist? Is there a way to talk to him to say, hey, can you call in?
Wow.
He would love this show. He really would. This is right up his
wheelhouse.
Only
because we're gushing about him constantly.
Absolutely.
Would be the only reason.
I mean, yes, we do poke fun, but we poke fun because we're fans. I mean, that's the whole thing. So
maybe we could get him to do Lawman Pinson or something like that.
That would be
and
awesome.
He could come into town.
Or maybe he could perform for us. He could be our first
he
musical
could.
Act. That would be awesome.
Mojo Priest.
We
yeah.
would put his CDs on there. You know, we'll have to pick our Steven Seagal title of the week. What is Mojo Priest? Is that the name
That's
of the album?
That's one of the album. His second album, maybe. Obviously, I'm no expert,
right.
but co-host Matt would know much
you
more
know what?
About that.
Mojo Priest, that's our Steven Seagal item of the week. Go to thedeucecast.com.
There you have it.
Click on that. Go to Amazon. You'll be able to get it. And, you know, give them $15. Give us a nickel. That'd be awesome. So,
and, you know, on that note, I just want to thank our 5 listeners out there. You've really shown the love for the show and done the click-through thing on our website to get to Amazon. You helped out our buddy Justin. We've sold 2
That's right.
books from our website now.
That's right.
Which is unheard of. I mean, we've done, what, 12 shows or maybe something like that?
Yes.
It's pretty cool. So.
Well, you know, our audience is still growing. Our audience
yes.
is still finding out that we actually have you have a podcast? Really? What's
yeah,
it about?
Yeah.
But I will say the people that like this show really like this show.
I agree.
And so
I agree.
Maybe there's only, like, you know, 10 of them that really like the show, but
that's all that matters.
You know, exactly.
I'll do it for the 10.
Exactly. This week in Deuce history. A little
yes.
interesting for you. And I thought this would be kind of fun. May 26th, 2001.
Yes.
It was the summer blockbuster season, and kicking off summer 2001 was a movie the likes of which we'd never seen before. The Deuce group gathered, Mikey, Sean, Big Tom, Wookie, and all the chicks in hand. As we met at the summit.
It sounds like it's a brothel, all the chicks in hand. What are you talking about? Keep going.
As
sorry.
We met at the summit at 9 p.m. for a 9:30 show. The tickets were an astounding $7.50 per show for the late
oh,
show.
Oh, gosh. Break the bank.
And our $7.50 was going towards the opening night of Pearl Harbor.
Oh, God. I remember
One
this.
Of the worst movies yeah. I've ever seen in my life.
You know what, though, dude? Some of those plane battles were pretty
well,
awesome.
Here's the thing. It started a very crappy Ben Affleck before he actually came into his own as a decent director and writer.
Yes.
An Alec Baldwin performance that was completely mailed in. I mean, just really,
yeah.
you know.
He didn't care.
I think Kate Beckinsale was in that movie.
And
her and Josh Hartnett. And I really watched this movie for 4 hours and could care less what happened to any of them.
Yeah,
I was like,
much.
It'd be awesome if Ben Affleck's character died. He lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only good part of the entire 3-hour-plus film was 45 minutes right in the middle during the plane battle.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
that was very, very cool.
Where Cuba Gooding Jr. was firing and
Exactly.
Blowing him up and dying.
He was playing somebody with a chick name that, like, the first black guy with a machine gun on top of the Arizona to shoot down a plane or something. I mean, right. He's in the history books. But that was the only good part of the movie, is that 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, when we walked out of the movie, we went to go find a Japanese person and punch him in the face.
That was actually one of the first Blu-rays that I bought, specifically because I knew the plane battle would be awesome.
Well, we bought the DVD, and I say we, meaning my wife, Stephanie, before we were even dating, she bought the DVD, and she has a habit of buying DVDs, and back then VHS copies too, and leaving them completely unopened in the wrapper until she's ready to open them.
Still do that.
Well, of course, right now, 10 years later, Pearl Harbor is sitting on the third shelf of our DVD collection, unopened.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I have threatened to sell that piece of crap 50 times, and I feel bad that I haven't already sold it, because now I feel like I get about $4 for it, if that. I think if I sold it 5 years ago, I could have gotten at least $12 for it. But
you might get a quarter for that if it's a regular DVD.
As long as Observe and Report exists, it's not the worst movie I've ever seen.
Exactly, yes.
But Pearl Harbor's a pretty terrible movie. So.
It is. Pearl Harbor, I do remember that night. I remember we were, for some reason... we were excited because it was Michael Bay.
Yeah,
I mean,
we thought it was going to be great.
At that time,
excited.
Michael Bay, he had directed The Rock,
yep.
Armageddon, and so he had a pretty good track record at that time. And so Pearl Harbor, we was like, okay, well, this is probably going to be pretty good. And I think a lot of people, because I know it made over $100 million, I'm sure, and that $750 ticket price was a lot harder to make $100 million back then than it is the $15 3D IMAX prices that are around nowadays. But there was some stuff in that movie I really liked. Some of the ancillary characters were pretty funny. There was the guy with the lisp.
Right.
The redhead with the lisp.
The guy with the lisp.
Yeah, exactly. He was pretty funny. And
played by Molly Matlin.
Gosh.
Too soon?
Very much so too soon. And then wasn't either Michael Madsen or what's the other guy that's always in? Tom Sizemore.
Virginia Madsen. Oh, Tom Sizemore.
Yeah. I always get Tom Sizemore and Michael Madsen completely confused. I think they're the same person. I can't ever remember. But yeah, I think Tom Sizemore was in it. And so I actually enjoy seeing some of the stuff that he's been in the past.
Tom Sizemore, of course, playing the We're in Business guy from Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
He's the one that collected dirt from every land he went to and was like, we're in business!
Exactly.
Every single time.
Exactly. So, Pearl Harbor, good memories. Thank you for that moment, Dave.
Absolutely, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Of course, William Fichter also in that movie.
Oh.
William Fichter was in the movie.
How could we forget?
And Dan Aykroyd in that movie. And Jamie King was in that movie. Jennifer Garner was in that movie. Michael Shannon.
Was Ken Watanabe in that movie?
But Kari Hirayoto Gatawa.
I really enjoy his
film.
Stuff. I really
he
enjoy
was,
his
stuff. Looking at his face, he was we've seen him. He was in
Mortal Kombat. Yes,
exactly.
I know who you're talking about.
He was Cheng Tsung Cheng Tsung.
Yeah,
just kind of picked him out at random, but that's awesome.
Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking. He's been in a ton of stuff.
Pearl Harbor, I'm going to go ahead and say that you will not find this movie on thedeucecast.com. I really don't want to link to it because I don't really want anybody to watch
it. We won't link to it. I will say, if you're a fan of historical epics, it's not bad. Throw all the stuff out about the love story and all that stuff.
Just go to like chapter 17, which is right in the middle
exactly.
of the movie.
Exactly. Just go to the middle of the movie. At least watch, in Blu-ray, at least watch the battle sequence because it is worth it. It is some of the best effects at that time as far as, you know, a battle sequence is concerned. And it does have some of the best sounds as well, Dolby Digital stuff going all over the place. So,
well, the problem with the movie was just it had this horrible love story wrapped around it, and it just—it's
very Titanic.
You know, Titanic was a good movie though. Titanic was great. Number nine favorite film of all time. It's my ninth favorite film of all time. I love Titanic.
I don't know.
Well, because that love story was told. Good. I mean, it was a well-told story.
Perhaps.
Pearl Harbor, it was choppy. It was unbelievable. Yeah. You didn't care about the characters. You didn't care about anything what happened to them at all. You could care less about Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah. Usually I care a lot about Kate Beckinsale.
Exactly. And in this movie, she just, it's like, whatever. Anyway.
Take that for what it's worth.
Pearl Harbor. Yes.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Contact info for The Deucecast. You can find us on the interweb at www.thedeucecast.com. Find us on Facebook at The Deucecast, and we'd love you to come like us. You can email us at info@thedeucecast.com.
What are you doing?
Let us know. What is Tommy doing?
I don't know.
Tommy's looking at beach scenes or something. I don't really.
He's got a bubble with something coming out of my head. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Okay. Shoot us an email at thedeucecast.com. Let us know what you think about Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Same thing with find us on Twitter at thedeucecast. And, of course, our phone number, 205-6269-FUN.
And I really want to say, you know, please do comment on the website. And please comment on iTunes. It means a lot to us to hear whatever you guys want to say. It can hopefully not be negative, but anything, we take constructive criticism.
You know, constructive criticism, even if you're like, you know what, I need to hear more Mikey because he's better. Or, you know, hey, the show is pretty good, but it would be better if we heard more Tommy. Or whatever. I mean, just, you know, give us, or, you know, it would be good if, you know, if Dave didn't talk so much about Something Borrowed. It would be great, you know, more
or something blue.
Or more Toad the Witch Rocket references.
Yeah, please. We did mince that this week with Matt not being here.
I know. Well,
I should have picked up the slack there.
You can download the show and subscribe on iTunes. Of course, we're on iTunes and we have reviews and stuff. And like Michael said, go give us a review. Join us next week for our special tribute to Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yes.
We're going to have other stuff as well. It's not going to be just Macho Man show. But you can expect that all next week in Episode 9 at Podcast End. This has been Episode 8, Dead Man's Podcast. I am your host, Dave.
And this has been Mike, and you have just taken your weekly deuce. Love you, Matt.
We should just let the song play.
Uh-huh.
Gonna get along with us tonight.
Told me I don't need to stay.
He even asked me to wear your ring. He ran around with every girl in town.